So what's the title of our message series? All right, open up to John 3:16. John 3:16. We're going to look at the package of salvation that Jesus signed, sealed, and delivered to us. He signed, he's delivered it to us. All right, so John 3:16. Now we're going to start John 3:1, all right? John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a leader, authority among the Jews. Basically, this was a very religious guy back in the Old Testament under the law. Okay, very religious. Okay, verse 2. Who came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know and are certain you have come from God. Talk about, I tell you, all right? You have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the things, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, and produce the proof that you do unless God is with you. And Jesus answered and replied, said, I assure you, most solemnly tell you, that unless a person is born again, he cannot ever see the kingdom of God. All right? Born again. Did you see that word, born again? Born anew? Okay, how many of you know this? Come on, you've been around the block a few times. How many of you already know this, all right? How many of you know that you can't go to heaven, can't go to God, you can't go into this kingdom unless you're born again, all right? And really, it's unless you've had a birth. B-I-R-T-H, in case my jersey came out. Somebody said I had an accent. Glory to God. Okay. Now, the word born again, literally in the Greek, it means born anew. It means you become a brand new. Look at yourself. Man, I'm brand new, all right? Now, today, we're going to talk about the new you. So say, new me. Real loud, new me. We're going to talk about the new me, the new you, the new me, okay? So, verse 3 again, and Jesus answered and replied him, I assure you, I most solemnly tell you, that unless a person is born again, anew, from above, he cannot ever know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God. Now, I know the Amplified's a little wordy, but that is so good. That is so good. But listen, Nicodemus, this guy's thinking natural birth. He's like, hey, later on, how can I get in my mother's womb and come out again? He's thinking natural with his head, right? Okay, but Jesus is telling him it's a spiritual birth. Okay? This package that you received as a spiritual thing, a spiritual birth, okay? Now listen, all of you know this is Bible 101 Christianity. All right, everybody know Bible 101 Christianity? Y'all know this, okay? And you probably have heard this one scripture. It's like the first one my kids memorize and know, right? Y'all know this scripture? I didn't surprise the newie on you, all right? Now, listen, you've all heard about being born again, but the new birth, that new creature, new birth, started on the inside. Started on the inside, right? You can talk to me today. Gee, okay. Now, the interesting thing about the transformation that happens is that it starts on the inside. Starts on the inside, all right? And nothing actually changes on the outside. This outside doesn't change, all right? You are the same person on the outside before and then after you receive Jesus on the inside, all right? Now, a lot of times I hear this, and I used to do temper tantrum, how come not me? But when I received, got born again, became new, I don't feel nothing. And I talk to people that say, oh man, it was like electricity went off, and I saw stars and stripes and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, that's nice. And some people say, man, I felt a ton of weight just fall off of me. That's nice. I didn't feel nothing. But the truth is, the change was on the inside. of you. There was a change on the inside of you, all right? So today we're going to talk about, everybody say, the new you, the new me, all right? And how there's supposed to be a transformation that starts showing up on the outside. Now, where did it start first? But it is supposed to get to the outside, right? Smile, all right? Because the Word of God should produce a transformation. Everybody agree with that? Say, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Okay, now listen. The Word of God should produce transformation, not just information. All right. Those that said amen, you got it. The rest of you, I'm going to say it one more time. The Word of God should produce transformation, not just information, all right? Now, oh, Pastor, that was a great message. Wow, I just felt the goosebumps. That is not transformation. That's your goofy head. No, you have sweet heads. You're just so darling. You're so darling. Listen, the Word of God should start. Okay, so today you're going to hear the Word of God. You are going to hear the Word of God. And when you leave and you wake up the next morning, it should begin a transformation in your life. It should, all right? Now, hold that thought. I really love watching movies where the good guy wins and he kisses the horse at the end and goes, yay. No, I really like movies where you see transformation. Shows where you see transformation. So you're going to laugh. I like The Biggest Loser. Anybody ever watch The Biggest Loser? Jared! Subway guy, Jared. Everybody, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, you know, these people, The Biggest Losers, they start like 350 pounds, 400, and oh my gosh, they had this special scale to put them on because, you know, all right? And it's so interesting to watch the change in them. Right? The Biggest Loser, all right? They look different. They even look happier, some of them, when they're sweating, but at the end, they're like, wow, okay? Now, I got my pages mixed up here. Where are they? There we go. What did I say? Nope. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm all over the place here. One, two. Yeah, there we go. Now, the interesting thing about, okay, that's what I was saying. So you have The Biggest Loser, but you know the really interesting thing? Before you see them get to that, okay, there was really a change that had to take place on the inside. And those trainers, oh man, I got a DVD on the Biggest Loser DVD, Kick Butt, okay? And I thought, oh, it's so easy. I'll tell you what, I was kick butt all over the place. But I got to, they do a little clip on the trainers. They talk on the DVD. And they stated, and you actually see it if you watch the show, that they actually become counselors to these people. Because they had to talk to them about how they were doing things in life that got them in that place in order to, they had to have a change on the inside before that change would go on the outside. Right? Because some of them, they just had issues in life. Things happened into their life, and they were locked down, meltdown, and just were eating to feel good. And yeah, anyway, so there had to be. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, transformation can't happen unless first there's a change on the inside. The transformation outside of you cannot happen unless first there's an inside change. Okay, write that down. Stick at that someplace and just look at that all week, okay? Transformation can't happen in your life until it starts first on the inside. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. Now, 5:17, you all know this, but it's really fun to read it like it's the first time you looked at it. And you go, all right? Because sometimes we go, na 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 na, because we know it so well. But read it like it's the first time. You don't have to go, whoa, like Pastor D. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So I'm even going to turn to it. All right, everybody with me? Therefore, if any man, woman, kid, all right, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everybody, let's say that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Okay, creature, not creepy crawly bugs, right? Creature, it's talking about being brand new being. And I like this one translation, a new species that like it has never existed before. That's brand new. A new species. It's like you get to discover a new species, right? That's never existed before. So creature. So now interesting, it's not talking about new on the outside, is it? No, it's, you know, you're still the same on the outside, right? Now, Jesus here, he's talking about when you receive Jesus, you become brand new being on the inside. How many of you know that? Okay, brand new being on the inside. But here's the problem. There's always a problem. Here's the problem. Have you ever seen somebody that you know that they've been born again 2-3 years? And you go, man, they still act the same. They still talk the same. What is the problem? And you go, no change. Anybody know some people like that? No change. No change. And it's because there's no change in their life. And you're going, what is going on with the deal? Well, if you're taking notes, write this, number two. Change comes by transformation, but it doesn't come automatically. I'm going to explain that. So, it doesn't come automatically. Change comes by transformation, but it's not, bingo, automatic, right? All right, so 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's brand new. Brand new. Brand new. Brand new where? On the inside, my spirit, okay? Okay, brand new. Now, when I say brand new, how many of you think of brand new baby? Brand new spanking new babies. I love them. They're so cute. Randy Graham, is he here? Tell him I talked about him. Dang. All right, he just became grandpa, and there is this brand new picture baby on Facebook, brand new. And you know, when that baby came out, it hadn't done anything wrong. It's just innocent, right? Brand new. You all, how old is Addison now? Oh my gosh, why did that happen? And I really wanted to pop a picture up, but we have technical difficulties this morning, and I'm trying to be technical, and then I got difficulties this morning, but I was going to pop a picture up. So what? Here we go. I'm really trying this. Okay. But, you know, really interesting. These brand new babies, brand new. All right? And the Bible says that you, because you're in Christ, are brand new like that baby. Brand spanking new. All right, brand new, new being, new creature, okay? Now today what I'm talking about is how you can be transformed where the inside starts showing up on the outside, okay? Now, I'm not lost, I'm just down a little road here. Do you know what happens this year? This is YCF's 30th year anniversary. I saw some of those pictures when we started, man. We were babies. I had big puffy hair a couple of years with a perm. You know, I was looking at this stuff. It was crazy. I was a little skinnier, whatever. You know. But, you know, in those 30 years that I've done church, I've seen the laughing meetings, hanging from the chandelier meetings. I've seen Joanne Garber out on the floor. Boom. I've seen them laughing. I've seen crying meetings where we're just weeping and woo. Okay. I've seen meetings here where you're just shouting and you got goosebumps. Oh, gosh, so good. And I've seen some of you sleep through the meetings. And I will tell you, there is no transformation there. Okay. But the interesting thing, none of it will transform you. None of those meetings will transform you. I'm going to say it again. None of those meetings will transform you. Only one thing transforms you. The Word of God applied. And some of you, man, you were hanging from the chandeliers. Where's Larry? Okay, we talked about Larry. Larry used to run laps, wing, wing, wing. He'd get y'all going running laps. We'd have a great time. We'd go home and talk about it. None of that will transform you. But it sure was fun, wasn't it? Okay, let's stand up and do some laps, man. It is so much fun. Jeez. Woo! We just get, praise God, we are not videoed, okay? It is fun. But I'm going to say it again. None of that. Oh, I'm looking at a red and Steve. You've done these things around the laps and shaking and all that stuff. Okay. None of that will transform you unless you apply the word of God to your life. Say it. Apply the word of God to your life. And it doesn't mean, and you all go, oh, man, Pastor D, that was a great message. You know, two messages I heard the most feedback, probably liked, was the one I did on friendship series and the one I made Brenton and Frank dress up in up front, okay? Especially the friendship series, Be a Friend. I heard just great feedback. Thank you, I felt good. But you know what? How many of you have stretched out and made friends? How many of you done it? How many of you applied it? So yes, it was a good message. By the way, play it again and do it. But you have to apply the word of God to your life if you're going to have any transformation. Okay? I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Carol, do you have time to pop that up? This is a fun old book. It's the cover's off, and then somehow I tried putting the cover on. I put it on backwards, upside down, just, you know, hysterical. So I'm opening up to beginning, and I'm like, wait, that's the end of the book. It's an old, and the pages are yellow. It's the J.B. Phillips translation. It's an easy read. Everybody know what I mean by an easy read? Okay, so I'm going to read this. So most of you, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You just know that. But read this. For if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. Wow. All right? The past is finished and gone. Thank God. Hallelujah. Everything, that sounds like justified. Doesn't it? Okay? The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Brand spanking new baby. All right? All this is God's doing. That's right. You can't do nothing, right? For he has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He has made us agents. You are not secret agents, by the way. Secret agents where nobody knows you're a Christian. Okay, say, I'm not a secret agent, I am an agent. Okay? Yeah, big difference. Okay. He has made us agents of the reconciliation. God was in Christ, personally reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and has commissioned us, everybody say us, with a message of reconciliation. Okay. Okay, question. What is the message of reconciliation? Boy, if you were here the last couple weeks, you got it. It is God is not holding the sins of the world against us, them. God is not holding your sins against you. God is not holding people who don't know Jesus. He's not holding their sins against them. That's the ministry of reconciliation. And you know when I had you all yell, us? Well, guess what your job is, us? What's your job? Thank you, David. Thank you. You are to tell people God is not holding their sins against them. The ministry of reconciliation. Okay, that's your job. I didn't write this. Okay? You got a beef, you know, to take it up with. All right? That's your job. All right? And you know what? One-third of the vision of YCF is we tell you to go. The last part, go tell. All right, you need to do it. We need to do it, all right? Go tell people, all righty? Now, back to the message. I didn't get lost. I'm back on the main road here. Okay, say the new you, the new me. All right. Now, question, do you even know the new me? Or you, you know what I mean? Do you even know you, new? Does anybody? All right. Or are you like, I'm trying to find myself, Pastor D. Right there I go, they don't know who they are. I just can't. Okay. Now, Here's the deal. The new you is who you really are. The new you, born again, new creature, new being, that's who you really are. All right? Now, listen, we do live in this body. We do have this mind. And by the way, those are the two areas that will really mess you up the most in life. Anybody have that, figured that out? Those two things get me in trouble. I'm going to tell you later where they got me in trouble this week. All right? Those are the two areas that mess you up the most. Okay? But listen, the new being on the inside is brand new, and it wants to transform on the outside. Okay, Randy's coming in. We're going to say congratulations. Oh, he's hitting the bathroom. Okay. When he comes in, all right. Jack used to talk about me every single Sunday that I was downstairs. And I'd be walking up the stairs, and people would say, oh, yeah, so this is revenge. Okay, congratulations! Yay! Well, he just walked out, Randy. He said, all right. Get in here. Oh, you're late! Yay! Congratulations! What's the baby's name? Very good. Well, we were talking about you. We just thought we'd really rub it in. You can't offend Randy because he's dead in Christ. Amen. Dead men. Right. All right. Now, today, taking notes, today, this is what we're going to look at. Today, we're going to look at three things that a baby has to do, but I'm going to give you a little analogies. Three things that a baby has to do to grow up. And we're going to talk about baby Addison here. Do you have her arms? Oh, no. Okay. We're sleeping. No, don't rock the boat. Oh, she's awake? She is so adorable. Babies are adorable. Okay. Even if they have cone heads, I thought my, you know who was beautiful. Okay, we're going to talk about three things that babies have to do to grow up. And they're the same three things that a Christian has to do to have transformation. So you're going to laugh at it instead of cry at yourself. Okay? Now, how many of you know that little baby Addison is going to look a whole lot different in about 9 months and then in a year? This cute little baby is going to look different because she's going to start to grow, right? And one of the ways she's going to have to grow is she's going to have to feed. And right now, mommy does a great job, and all the team back there that help out, okay? They got teams that help out, all right? So the second thing we're going to learn, okay, so number one, you're going to have to learn how to feed if you want to be a Christian that has transformation from the inside out. So number one, you're going to have to learn how to feed. Number two, you're going to have to learn how to walk. Right now, she's not doing that, is she? No. And it's a process, okay? And number three, you're going to have to learn a language. She's going to learn a language. It's so cute. It's always a race, mama or dada, all right? Okay. Okay, she loves me more. All right. Okay, so I want to show you how to feed. One, two, how to walk, and number three, a new language, because if you get that, you will have transformation in your life, all right? So if you're not seeing transformation in your life, you might have to go check these out, okay? So now, number one, church is not going to change you, transform you, coming here once a week, though please keep coming, bring people, but church is not going to transform you. Your life from the inside out. You're not going to see big transformation if you come here once a week. Okay? Church, you know what's the purpose of church? We gather, we grow, we go. We gather with people of like precious faith. We have fun with one another. We worship God. We get to see people's lives get born again. I mean, church is a good thing. It's a good thing because there are a lot of bad things out there, but church is a good thing, and you need to obey God and Pastor D and come. But it's not going to transform you if you do it once a week, right? Anybody ever figure that out? Okay. So what do you need to have transformation? Feed. Everybody say feed. Feed. Okay. Now, the problem is the church today probably started back in the 70s. The church today started to go to big meetings and follow ministers. I was one of those groupies. I call myself a groupie. You know, Joyce Myers is in town. We run to hear Joyce Myers. But there was a change. There's really a shift back starting from the late 70s on, where all you do is run to go to a meeting, and you are expecting that minister to feed you. I got news, but Joyce Myers is only here once a year for 2.5 days. Andrew Womack, once a year. Is he here for 2 days? Something like that. Great feed. It's a good feed. All right? Really good. All right? But guess what? What's the problem? You got a problem. Okay. Now, you know what the problem is about this? They are actually, and I showed that, I said the word, supplements. Okay? Those, when you go, when you should go, every time, well, not every time, be here on Sunday, okay? Because you score points to get to heaven. Score points, Pastor D. Yeah. Okay, because I'll call you out. No. Okay, the purpose of them is they are supplements. All right, now, a person, and I do know a person, that only takes supplements, guess what? Their body's not going to develop right. You have to feed. Just popping supplements, okay? You have to feed. Everybody say, you have to feed, okay? So turn to 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. You have to feed, or you're not going to develop properly, and I've seen it. Groupies, they're so fun. I am one. Okay, 1 Peter 2:2. This is what God desires. Not just me. Not just your mama. This is what God desires. 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babes, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto complete salvation. Accent over there. Okay. Everybody say, basically it says grow up. By this milk you will, okay, grow up. All right. Now, by it you will grow up unto complete salvation. Now, here's the interesting part when I talk about milk. Many people, not this church, love to say, Pastor, Pastor's just not feeding me. You know, I'm into deep stuff. You know the deep stuff? I'm off of milk. I'm onto meat. Beef, steak. You know, I want the meat. You ever hear anybody say that? Actually, there was a season in my life I said that. And you know what I found out? That's dangerous. Also got my behind corrected by the Lord. All right, that's dangerous. If you start saying that, okay? Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. I recently heard this, and I was trying to find out. The Bible is written on a fourth grade level. How many of you have graduated fourth grade? You can lie if you didn't. It's okay, so you look good. That means it's pretty simple to understand, especially when you got the Holy Ghost, okay? So if this is on a fourth grade level and it's simple, but, you know, sometimes I hear people, well, I just don't get it. And the first thing I say, are you reading the King James? Oh, yes, that's the holy version. No, it isn't. You know what they were using before, way back before the King James, and then they translated it to the King James, the language at that time. They're, you know, so find something you like to read, all right? Find a version. That J.B. Phillips Fun, Living Bible Fun, the New International. There's just fun Bibles to read where you go, this is fun. I get it. All right? You don't have to do the New King James or the King James. All right? Okay? Even though my favorite teacher at Rhema would say, King James only. And I'd sit there and I didn't get anything out of it. So much for that. Okay. Now, so all I want you to do is read your Bible, guys. That's how you get transformation. You have to feed. And again, the problem is many Christians rely on their pastor to feed them, period. Okay, now my job, believe it or not, is not to feed you. open your mouth, here comes the airplane. Okay? No, my job, though, is to speak the word of God and to give teachings out here, all right? And then I come along and do some feeding and guiding and stuff like that, okay? But your job, everybody say, my job is what? Feed yourself, okay? Okay, that's my job. Everybody say, my job. All right. Because you can't live on one meal a week. So if you come here, and this is the only time that you, and I'm feeding today, by the way, this is the only time you get fed, you're going to be pitiful, all right? Turn over to Hebrews, please. Hebrews 5. So it's a chapter, two chapters before. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. I'm just going to drive this one more time to make sure you get it, okay? Hebrews 12, ready? Hebrews 12. Hold on a minute. Did I say 12? No, Hebrews 5. Thank you. 12. Oh, yes, this is okay. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 5. Someone do the sign language to me. Hold up these cards. 5. All right. 5. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For even though by the... You should laugh at yourself. Some of you have a pickle in your mouth. Just laugh at yourself sometimes. I remember one time I did a wipeout. I slipped and wiped out. And I was actually ice skating with the youth group, Travis Holloway, who's a... what do you call that game? Ice hockey guy, okay? And I did a big wipeout. Feet up, head down, bam! And he comes running over... Pastor D, are you all right? And I'm going, head, finger, knees, toes. And I started laughing. And he started laughing at me. Just laugh at yourself, okay? Life's fun. It's not that serious sometimes. Just laugh, okay. All right, where was I? 5, verse 12. Good. 5, verse 12. For even though by this time you ought to be teachers, teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced, unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness. Okay, for he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet, but solid food, meat, is for full-grown men, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now. So what's the difference between meat and milk? M&M. What's the difference? Okay? Milk. Milk is when you find out who you are in Christ. Really simple. I was saying, you know, there's a whole list. But if you had to just push it together simple, it's when you find out who you are in Christ and what he's done for you. That's milk. Everybody say milk. Milk does the body good, right? Okay? You find out the blessings. That's called milk, all right? Now, what is meat? Meat is not... Oh my gosh, that was so deep. Wow. That is not meat. Okay. Wow. Meat is, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody say, that's meat. I'm just going to push you off the edge today. So happy. Here you go. Be nice to me. Milk is starting to find out what God did for you. I'm forgiven. I'm declared righteous. But meat is, children, obey your parents. I'm making you think, okay? Because meat is, you have to apply the milk. When you start applying the word of God, you got meat, all right? Now, milk's good. Makes me feel good. I love to find out all the things. I mean, I walk around, that's good. Not knocking it, but meat, the meat of the word. Ooh, I love when they say the meat of the word is when you hear it and you apply it in your everyday life. Husbands, love your wife, okay? Let me give you an example. Your neighbor. You got a neighbor, and this... let me back up. Love your neighbor as yourself. The neighbor's not really talking about the guy next door. The neighbor is the guy at work that has made your life miserable. I mean, just lies about you, says that he's just miserable. Anybody have any guys like that at work? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, all right. Okay, and let's just say they've really challenged your life. Anybody have any people that they... Okay, now listen. Milk says Jesus loves me. All right. Milk says me, me, me. But meat says, I'm going to love that guy. I'm going to love him. I'm going to cover him. I'm going to pray for him. I'm laughing, but that's meat. That's meat, all right? And yeah, they make my life difficult, but I am going to love them. I'm going to have to, matter of fact, I will have to pray to hear from God because I want to shoot them, all right? So that's when you know you got meat, all right? Now, getting back to our babies. The first thing a baby does is feed. So the first thing a Christian does is... So in order to have transformation in your life, you need to begin to... On the... Oh, this is so fun. Okay. Okay. If you do not read, you will not be transformed. Okay? All right. Number two, if you're taking notes, you need to learn how to walk. Okay? Right now, little baby Addison, does she roll over? Not yet. Soon she's going to roll over. Then they get up and they do the rock. And then they finally crawl. And then they do the whoop, whoop. And next thing you know, they're walking and they're running, all right? So it takes some time. But listen, when you need to learn how to walk, okay, as a baby and as a Christian. But guess what my first walk is you will learn? There's a lot of walks, but one of them, you're going to have to learn how to walk by faith. I'll never forget the first message I heard about walk by faith, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma at their, they don't call it the Coliseum. What is that thingy? Okay, Coliseum. And I was listening to Brother Hagin teaching on, no, I was listening to Fred Price. This is when his fro was this big. I love that man. He's impacted my life. But he was talking about we walk by faith and not by sight. And I go, what is walk by faith? It was so new and foreign. Anybody remember those days? I was like, what are they talking about? But listen, I stuck around and I started to learn the walk of faith. Now, the walk of faith means it does not mean you ignore all natural things. Gravity, you ignore that, you got a problem. Okay? Okay? But the walk of faith is something that we learn how to walk. And listen, sometimes let me give you a real easy way to apply the walk of faith. I got this job I can't stand. I have complained to everybody and their brother about this job I cannot stand and the people I cannot stand and the money I cannot stand. All right? You know what the walk of faith is? Blessed be the name of God. You have called me to this place. This is my mission field. I am here until you move me. And I do this by faith and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's a walk of faith. I could give some more examples, but you get it, all right? That's a walk of faith that you have to learn, right? You have to learn. Okay, let me give you one more walk. And then I'm going to advertise. It's called the walk of endurance. Turn over to Hebrews. Oh, we are at Hebrews. Hebrews 12:1. Walk of endurance. I'm going to tell you, this is the most challenging walk out of all your Christianity. All right? The walk of endurance. Everybody say that. The walk of endurance. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have bore testimony to the truth, let us throw aside every encumbrance and sin that readily clings to us, entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance. Okay, run the race, all right? So whether you're running or walking, you have a walk of endurance. I like to think I'm running. Some days I'm like, ooh, ooh. All right, there's a walk of endurance. And you know what that means? Really simple. Don't quit. The DVD series, the book that we're doing downstairs with the singles group, John Bevere's Relentless, don't quit. It's that walk of endurance. That's what that whole book is about. And he'll nail you to the wall when you thought, I'm doing good, all right? And he'll pump you, that book just pumps you up and encourage you that you don't quit. Don't quit, okay? So the walk of endurance is, all right, you don't quit, all righty? Now, let me tell you about this walk of endurance. I hear this a lot. As a matter of fact, I know this to be true about a particular person. They are in the plans of moving out of their house. And it wasn't because the house was small and the kids outgrew or something like that. They got the worst neighbors. They got parties and cussing, and they throw beer bottles in their yard the next morning. All right. They park their car because they're drunk on their front lawn. And all I hear from this person is, we're getting out of here. Betty Lou, we're getting out of here. I've had it. All right. That's not endurance. It's not endurance. You know what makes me think of Pastor Dan's neighbors come Halloween? Oh, my goodness. His neighbors decorate their yard with the grotesquest, whatever that word is, Halloween stuff next to his yard. And he hasn't moved. He is enduring. He is on the walk of endurance because he's not quitting. He's still there. They just remodeled kitchen a couple years ago because, you know, because some of that's love, all right? And they're in there because you are a light that is supposed to influence, all right? So they're there. Drive by their place at Halloween time. It is sad. It's really bad. I'm like, oh, my God. All right. Listen, we all have challenges. But listen, in order to get to endurance, guess what you have to do first? You're going to have to feed on the Word of God or you're not going to have any endurance. So if you feed on the Word of God, you'll have the endurance. If you are quitting, probably you need to go back and start feeding. And then you can walk this thing of endurance where you don't quit. All right. Last walk, the walk of love, my favorite. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 talks about a better way. Guess what it is? Love. But turn over to Ephesians 5. Turn over to Ephesians 5. I'm having so much fun. Did you guys warm up yet? You're kidding. Man, I'm like, really? Kara, what do we have that thing set at? I usually have it set at 63. This is a heat wave in here. No, I'm not lying. Joe's in a t-shirt. Andy's in a t-shirt. We're good. See, I usually look for the hot flash women. I'm going to look at my men over there. This is 68 degrees in here. You guys, it's hot in here. All right. I don't know. Where was I? Ephesians 5:2. One. Therefore, be imitators of God as well-beloved children. Walk in. Yep. As Christ loved us, gave himself up for us. Okay, listen, we're to walk in love like Christ walked in love to us, right? All right, now listen, maybe you don't like the way people are treating you, but you walk in love. You walk in love. And maybe someday, just go grab your pillow and scream, ah! And then come out of the room and start walking in love. I'm going to tell a story about myself. I didn't do a pillow, but I did that. Man, I was just okay. All right, so walk in love. Okay, the last one. The last we're going to talk about is the baby Addison is going to learn a language. Guess what? As a Christian, you need to learn a language. And now, if you've grown up in the world, everybody grew up in the world. Are you kidding me? There's a language out there. You know what that language is? Fear and doubt. They have a language. Fear and doubt. Okay? And you can be a Christian and still speak their language. I wish somebody was here. They need to hear that. Okay. So, because that language influences us. All right? All right. But the new me on the inside needs to learn a new language. All right? And that my language is supposed to speak different than their language. Supposed to. All right? Now, this is before I learned this language. Oh, I don't feel good. Man, I feel like a Mack truck rolled over me and I died and went to heaven. That's the world's language. All right? And I can tell you a whole bunch of funny ones, right? Like, I just feel like, you know, da 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 da. All right? So that's the world's language. All right? That's the world's language. Okay? But we are supposed to speak a new language, the language of faith. Okay? And the language of love. Now, let me tell you about the language of love. The language of love you can actually see before you can hear it. Case in point. It's holidays at the Cashmans. And I'm going to make up a name. And you know, Uncle Roy is coming over. Oh my gosh. Why does he And he finally comes over, and he sits down next to me, and I got up, and I go in the kitchen. Start cooking and start. And then I sit down later on, and Uncle Roy comes over. Such a big mama. Gee, praise God. So I said, I go down the basement and watch football, and I don't care what team's on. Okay, guess what I just did? I spoke a language. That's a language girl going on. Wasn't what I said. I was sort of nice there a little bit, all right? Okay, it was, there's a language spoken there. You agree with me? All right, now, such as, it's lunchtime in the break room, and you're sitting down, and then the click comes in. And you, but Pastor D, they're always cussing, and you know, I'm a Christian, and you just spoke a language, and it wasn't the language of love. You're not going to get the cooties if they cuss. Though sometimes I tend to join in. I have to really watch hanging around Jersey. She's being honest. Okay. But listen, that was a language going on, just the way you reacted. Okay? So language is not so much what you say. Okay. Now, it's interesting. There's another language. Let me move on to that because I'm going to tell. There's called the language of grace. I'm leaving this for the last one. The language of grace. You're taking notes. We had the language of faith, the language of love. Last one, language of grace. We live in a world, and I want to tell you, it is not motivated by grace. Amen. No grace coming out there. Take, for instance, they'll say, I'll give you 3 chances, girl, and then you're out. I hear Christians say that about marriages. If he ever does that, man, I'm out. He's out. Forget me. He's out. God, who was so gracious when you were messed up, he wasn't like that, was he? That's it. They're out. All right. There's a language of grace. It's called being gracious. All right. Okay. Now, listen, Dolores, no condemnation, but this was a hoot. Just keep laughing. So we're paying bills, and Dolores realized, I said, you know what? Verizon keeps sending me emails to my personal, dcashmanhotmail.com. I said, could you just go change it so they'll do dcashmanycf, so I can get my business on the business and my personal on my person, okay? Because now I actually know how. I have 3 accounts. I'm learning how to do 3 of them. It's so funny. But I forget the passwords all the time. So I have a little cheat sheet in my wallet. Okay. So Dolores does this, and she changes that, and then she comes in later, and she goes, hey, Dee. Pastor Dee. We're Dee. Wait. She goes, you know what they told me? We forgot to renew our bundle. So I did that. I said, praise God. And the numbers look good. We were going to save money and all this stuff. That was Wednesday. Thursday. I come into the office, no internet, no nothing, no web, can't get to nothing. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's the matter? So actually, this had happened a couple of months ago, and Gus came in and he wrote me my cheat sheet. I love it. 1, go back to the mechanical room. Look up the silver one, don't touch it, the black one, that's called the DSL box. Unplug it. I'm not lying. I have them typed out so I know what. Don't even know what DSL means. Okay. So I go through this whole seat, and he says, you have to do it in sequence. So there were 4 things I had to unplug, stand there and wait. It's freezing in that mechanical room, man. It's freezing in there. And I did that thing 2 times, and nothing, no internet, no web, no nothing. Couldn't even get to Power Church. Now, don't get why that one happened. So I call Gus, and he just happened to be in the neighborhood. He came in, and he goes, Lee, it's all lit up. It's working. And I go, oh, Dolores. I call her up. I said, what did you do? She didn't do anything wrong. But as soon as she said that, get on the phone. Jersey came out. Call them. They put you on hold. Press this button. Put you on hold. Jersey, 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 Jersey. Finally, I said, unbeknownst to me, I get this tech support person, and I thought his name was Tom, and I said, so Tom, he says, my name is Anthony. No, I didn't mean it like that. And I go, and this is where, Jersey, 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 been kind of mouthing off here. And I go, by the way, where are you? He said, Texas. I'm like, dang it. They train people up down south to be polite. And this man was so polite and gracious to me. Jersey, Jersey, Jersey. Oh, my God. I'm being transformed. And right away, I switched gears, and I said, Anthony, thank you so much. Please forgive me. I'm just feeling a little frazzled. He goes, ma'am, I'm really trying. I'm going to talk. I'm going to put you on hold again. No, my bad. And then he comes back. He says, oh, ma'am, I'll be about 3 to 5 minutes. So this whole thing's going on, Jersey, Jersey, up, down, in the name of Jesus, and transform. Okay, make the long story short is I was definitely corrected, because you know what? Being gracious, learning the language of grace is being gracious when you don't know who that person is and you're never going to see him again. Okay, so it's a decision, it's a choice. See, now she's pastor. Yeah. Okay, recapping the whole message, ready? If the new you would like to be transformed from the inside out, you will, one, everybody, feed. Number two, learn to walk. Number three, learn a new language. Okay, and then, not like the other day, you'll say, wow, you know, I used to act like that. But man, you know, a couple years ago, I would have, I didn't. That's when the you know who you are, the new you that has transformed your life, that's coming out. And listen, we need less Jersey. We need, okay. I'm getting better, okay? Okay, actually, what you have to have is a renovation of your mind. There's a really cool show called The Renovations, all right? You need a mind renovation in order to have a transformation, all right? That was just so, sounded so good, it rhymed. I just thought I'd throw that out. Okay, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Everybody thankful? Yep, thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that this word has power. We thank you that this word has power to transform us from the inside out. And Father, I ask that everybody that's heard this word, these scriptures, Father, that it'll not just be, oh, that was nice. Father, it'll be beginning of a transformation. In Jesus' name.